It is indeed an honor to be with you all this morning. My family is very blessed to call Windsor Church of Christ home. Back in 2003, this was our home. We had been here, I'm not sure how many years we were here, in Greeley and out here in Windsor. And in 2003, the great state of Texas lured us away and we relocated. But we've always, always consider Colorado our home. Our youngest is not with us. He's already in school. He's a junior at Freed Hardeman University. He starts this week. Those of you that may remember our family, you remember Dylan when he was only 3 and 4 years old. Now he's 20. So life keeps moving. Life keeps changing. And I hope that this morning, what we will do will help change you. I hope that what it will do is it will give you a sense of urgency. It will give you a sense of a renewal with your responsibility in Christ. If you're not a member of the Lord's Church and you're visiting, and this is just a great opportunity to be with family and friends, I hope that it will encourage you and edify you and inspire you to look a little bit closer at what God's Word's all about and what God calls us for. You'll notice on the screen it says bedtime stories. And that may be a strange sermon title because you might be thinking, are we supposed to take a nap now? That's not the intent. Please don't go to sleep on me. But bedtime stories are something that we all know. Honestly, they're something that we all know. Perhaps as a child, you've had a bedtime story read to you. Or maybe as a parent, you've read the bedtime story. Moms and dads read bedtime stories. Grandmas and grandpas read bedtime stories. Aunt and uncles read bedtime stories. But what's the purpose of a bedtime story? Honestly, what is the purpose that time? The day is over, it's time to go to bed, it's bedtime, and now we're going to tell a story. Well, I'll tell you what it's not. A bedtime story is not the time, and if you're a mother, I think you'll agree with me on this, to rev them up. That's not the time to get them excited. Get ready, we're getting excited about this story. That's not the objective, nor is it the time to put fear in their hearts. You don't want to tell a ghost story when it's time to go to bed. You want to give them something that will relax them. And I'll tell you what a bedtime story, in my opinion, is. A bedtime story is to prepare them to sleep. A bedtime story, stay with me on this because this is critical. A bedtime story is designed to get your children ready to end the day and sleep. That's what bedtime stories are about. Sometimes they're fantasy. Sometimes they're made up of incredible make-believe characters that do some fantastic things. Sometimes those bedtime stories, they do perform impossible details. And you think, how in the world could that happen? It's a story. It's a story. But sometimes they're factual. Sometimes they're historical. And you're telling a story that's real. It's a history lesson. It's designed to relax them with a positive thought. And quite frankly, the truth be known, a bedtime story is to demonstrate your love to them. Now, I put that up there a little too quick, so I'm going to run back on that because I want you to catch this first. There are some benefits to bedtime stories. What it does, and the studies say this, this is not me coming up with it, this is what studies say. It helps to develop a routine that will improve a child's brain development. Did you realize that's what bedtime stories will do? If you set this up in a routine, mom and dads, if you typically and traditionally take your children and tell them a bedtime story, whether you're reading it or it's coming from your heart, you're fixing a routine that will help develop their brains. It'll also help them with language mastery. This is evidenced. And also with logical thinking skills. I think that's incredible to think that bedtime stories, just those short 10, 15, well, for my kids, it was more like 30 or 45. Those short times of bedtime stories can have some great impacts. And actually, it can create a bond. It can create a bond between the parent, the grandparent, the child. So why bedtime stories? Why on a Sunday morning, why did you come out to Windsor Church of Christ to listen to bedtime stories? Actually, the story that we're going to be talking about is historical. And it's a story, quite honestly, we should be telling our children, not just at bedtime. But there's a reason we read Deuteronomy chapter 6. But I want to back up just a couple of verses and look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. If you want to turn there, you can. It's Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Now, this is the This is most likely Moses writing to the disciples, to the children of Israel. And he says this in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 9. He says, only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently. Diligently. That means intentional. That means I'm not just kind of haphazardly living my life. But he says, give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life. God's done miraculous things for the children of God. Don't forget it. You saw it. You saw it, he says to the Israelites. But you're going to have children and grandchildren that did not see it. So how are they going to know? How are they going to know about all these wonders that God performed? Well, quite honestly, he says, make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Paul said, or Moses said through God, make sure you don't forget me. And you do that by telling your children the stories of me. Then we go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and you just read that. Ari, thank you for reading that just a moment ago. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, 5, 6, and 7 is all I want to look at. But you know it because you've sung it. Hear, O Israel, you've sung that song. You know it. It's scripture. The Lord your God, the Lord is one. The Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might or your strength. And then Moses continues and says, these words which I command you today shall be on your heart. We talked about that this morning in class. We understand and we sing God's words. And then Moses says, you shall teach them, and here's that word again, diligently. You shall teach them diligently. That's not haphazard, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot live a life that's haphazard in Christ. It must be intentional. It must be deliberate. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you do four things. And you know this. When you do four things, Moses said to the people of Israel, this is when you're, just not just these, but this is when you need to be thinking about it. When you're sitting in your house. When you walk, by the way, when you're walking down the road, or in our culture today, when you're driving down the road, are you talking about God with your kids? When you're sitting at home, are you talking to your kids about God? When you lie down, that's the bedtime stories. When your kids are going to bed, are you telling them about Jesus? Are you telling them about God? Are our stories, are our bedtime stories relaxing them? They will if we talk about God. And then when you get up, when the day, night's over and the day dawns and you get up, keep talking about God. Keep talking about your Savior. Keep talking about your Father. So we're talking about stories. But tonight, this morning's story is a bedtime story that is real. And it's not intended to put you asleep. Not yet. But you see, when you consider how stories start, it may be once upon a time. Once upon a time. This happened. Or, as many of you know, a movie that collected over $6 billion, starts their story this way. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. A bedtime story, if you will. A story. But our story starts this way. One day. One day. When heaven was filled with his praises. There was one day when sin was as black as could be. You see the contrast? On this day, there was some good stuff happening, and there was some bad stuff happening. But on this day, Jesus came forth, and he was born of a virgin, and he dwelt among men. And he's my example. That's a story that we can tell our kids. No, that's a story we should tell our kids. Now, when you say, well, born of a virgin, so this is a fantasy, right? This is a make-believe, because virgins can't have babies. This is history. Well, how do you make sense of that? By faith. And that's what we teach our children. So what I want to do is I want us to look at one day. I want to look at this story that has actually five verses in it. And you've sung it before. Matter of fact, if you like to take your songbooks, you can probably find it. I'm not going to tell you what the page number is yet, but you'll be able to see it in just a moment. The first verse, the first part of this story is Jesus' birth. That's a natural process. That's what happens. We have all been born. Some are going to be anticipating another birth in their lives, in their families. There'll be death in our families. But this story starts with Christ's birth, which is a natural process. Except this mother's a virgin. This is a woman who has never had sexual relations, but she's going to have a baby. So maybe this story has a supernatural beginning. So take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. Because remember, if we're telling a story, and it's a historical story, and our kids are going to ask, how did that happen? Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to know the source of your story. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. The angel speaking to Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. And this is what is said. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. But Mary said, this mother-to-be, how can this be, since I have not been intimate with the man? Our story starts with a birth, but as we read the scripture, how? She's not married. Read the story to your children. I'm not going to go through that whole story because that's not the point, but you could look at Luke chapter 2 and get some more. I want to take us to the next verse. Our first verse, the first part of our story is the birth of our Savior. But the second verse, and we can find the scripture in these two. I'm sorry, I didn't follow that very good. Those of you who listen on the CD or whatever you do, it used to be a cassette. I don't know what they do now. You're not having the screen, but you'll follow with me. I want us to sing this first verse. I want us to tell this story in the first verse of this story. Remember, there's five of them, so you'll be able to catch it. Logan, can I get you to advance this? It'd be better if you did. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. And we're stopping right there, because we'll get to the rest of this story later. The first part of this story is his birth. But then we fast forward in this story, and we talk about the next natural process of life, and that's death. You see, our Savior was born, and our Savior died. And our Savior's natural process was not so natural, because you see, he was murdered. He was killed. It wasn't just that he got old or he had an accident. This was an intentional event that took place. And I want to take you again in the scripture to Acts chapter 2, verse 23. But as you get ready to turn there, as you're going that way, I want to clarify something for you. You see, usually when you consider a murder, that's something you don't have any control over. But ladies and gentlemen, our God was in complete control. Our God knew exactly what was happening. He laid down his life. Acts chapter 2, verse 23, Peter says this. Speaking to the crowd on the day of Pentecost, he said, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. This Jesus, the Nazarene, was the man pointed out to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs that God did among you through him, just as you yourselves know. Though he was delivered up according to God's determined plan and foreknowledge, and you lawless people nailed him to a cross and killed him." You see, as we tell this story, it's almost a little dark. It's almost a little gruesome. But this is a story that, ladies and gentlemen, our kids need to know. We have a Savior who is born. And we have a Savior who died. Let's sing this next verse before we go on to tell this story. One day they led
Him on Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on the tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing my sins, my Redeemer is he.
Do you see the value of explaining this story to our kids? Yes, he was born. And yes, he died. And he took my sins with him. But as we tell this story, as we continue to tell this story, there's another process after death. You know what happens. There's a burial. We put him in the grave. And the same thing happened with Christ. Christ is resting. Christ is sleeping, if you will. And I think it's interesting when you look at John chapter 20, verse 12. Actually, all four of the Gospels reference this event. All four of them talk about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But all four of them talk about this event, and it's so important as you tell your story to your children, it's so important as you tell this story that you combine them all. Otherwise, you leave some information out. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all talk about his burial. But in John chapter 20, on the resurrection morning, we read this. Mary saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet, where Jesus' body had been laid. You see, Jesus had died, and Jesus was buried. But in his death, he was attended. He was accompanied, if you will. Let's sing this third verse of this song. One day
they left him alone in the garden. One day he rested from suffering free. Angels came down o'er his tomb to keep vigil. Hope of the hopeless, my Savior is he.
Talked about his birth in our story. We've talked about his death in our story. We've talked about his burial in our story. But ladies and gentlemen, do not stop there. Don't stop there, because this story is not over. If you stop here, you're missing the thing that gives us hope as Christians. As children of God, we have to continue this thought process. We have to continue this story, because he did not stay in the grave. He did not. We cannot go and visit his tomb, because Jesus was resurrected. And it was evidenced. People saw it. Eyewitnesses can attest to it. Do you understand why Moses said, you have seen this with your eyes, but tell your children, tell your grandchildren, because they will not have. Witnesses, we read, saw Jesus' resurrection. Did you? I didn't. My grandparents didn't. My great-great-great-grandparents didn't. But there were witnesses. And we read about it in text. If you don't believe in this, your story will be very scary. You see, the evidence comes in Mark chapter 16. You can read it in Luke chapter 24. You can read it in John chapter 20 with the disciples. You can read it in Mark 16. On the road to Emmaus, you can read Luke chapter 24. But I'll point this out to you from Mark chapter 16. On the resurrection morning, Mary and other women are there. Mark chapter 16, verse 4. Looking up, they, that was the women, observed that the stone which was very large had been rolled away. That's just one of the accounts of his resurrection. Nobody stole him. Nobody took him. He arose. And we understand that. We sing that. But we've got to make sure that we tell it to our kids. He was born. He was killed. He was buried. But he also rose again. Let's sing that fourth verse. One day.
One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, oh, over death he had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord evermore.
And I love that thought. I love the fact that I have a Savior who came to this earth and was born just like you and I were. That he went through the natural process and lived his life for God, came to the end of his life, died, was buried, but then he rose. Because that gives me hope. That gives me hope to know that I will arise. Not in the same way. But when he comes back and calls his children home, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we talk about next in our story. You see, after his resurrection, he's returned back to the right hand of God. But we know from text, we know from God's word, that he's coming back. We know that he will return. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he says this, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel voice, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, who are still alive, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore," listen to what Paul says, "therefore, encourage one another with these words." What he was saying, tell your children a bedtime story. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about his birth. Tell them about his death. Tell them about his burial and his resurrection. And tell them about his return. He's coming back. Did you notice what we just went through? Ladies and gentlemen, when we sing this song, we are singing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're singing about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We are teaching our children the gospel. Advance it one more time, son. But if you're like my kids, if you're like what, go ahead and do it one more time. Let's see what I got. Yeah. If you're like my kids, what happens is you finish reading the story, and what do they say? Would you read it again? Can you read it to me again? Tell me the story again. Crystal, you understand that, don't you? You spent some time, you put your kids ready for bed, you got them down and you told them a story, and they're not ready to go. They say, read it to me again. And so you do. Maybe a little bit shorter. But you know what we do with this song? We do it again. Go ahead, son. We say, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. And you know what? One day he's coming back. One day he's coming. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. I think it's incredible to think about our songs and what they can tell us. But more so, I think it's incredible that we have an obligation to teach our children. Tell them bedtime stories. But never forget to tell them about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to that last verse. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. You know what they are? Living he loved me. Dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. When we sing this song, we are singing the gospel. We are singing the death and the burial and the resurrection. You know it. You've studied it. I dare say you've shared it with your friends and those who are lost. But folks, we can never say it enough. And I would say you need to make sure we say it to each other. When you have the opportunity with your children, tell them about your Jesus. Tell them about the fact that he was born. And he walked on this earth. He was born of a virgin, of all things. He was born by somebody who never had, a woman who never had a relationship with a man. How could that happen? By faith. I know that it happened. And he lived on this life. Keep reading through the story. There's lots of stories you can tell the kids from his whole life. But then he died. He was killed. Tell them that. Tell your children that event, that gruesome event, where he was nailed to a cross. Tell them about his death. Just as we remembered that he died for us and our sins, as it was pointed out, were his burden. So that when he rose, we could too. Tell him about his burial. Tell him how they put him in a grave for 3 days until he rose. And then when he came and he arose, he met to the people. And the people saw him as eyewitnesses and they knew it. But I think some people forgot to tell it. Because we stand here today with people who have no clue. We weren't witnesses. But by faith, we know. So we have an opportunity to tell. Because he will come back. Jesus will come back. And he's going to look to see, have you told people about me? Have you told folks about me? I want to take you to Romans chapter 6. This is going to be the last passage that we're going to do this morning. And then the lesson's going to be yours. In Romans chapter 6, we'll look at verse 3 through 11. Listen to what Paul says to the church in Rome. Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death. In order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in the newness of life. Do you see the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. It's your choice. You can stay in sin. I won't finish reading it, but you can read it. It's your choice. You can stay where you're at. You can continue in the vein that you've gone, and life will come and it'll go, and then Christ will come back. I will promise you that. And then he'll find out if you want to be with him or not. But if you haven't followed the gospel, if you haven't been like Paul said in Romans, in the likeness of his death, I think you know the situation. We've sung the gospel. And I think it's impressive to know that we can sing the gospel. But there's something I want to conclude with here with you real quickly. You know, bedtime stories are useful for teaching abstract virtues. They really are. Such as sympathy and unselfishness and self-control. We can teach those through bedtime stories. Bedtime stories can discuss darker subjects. You know that. We just talked about it. Such as anger, jealousy, and death. But as the child matures, as your children grow up, they'll get to the point where they don't want the bedtime stories anymore. Matter of fact, they might not even tell you goodnight. They just may be gone and they're already gone to bed. We've got to continue to tell our kids stories, but they've got to mature. The stories have got to mature just like our kids do. So I guess I would ask you, what kind of stories are you telling your kids? Are they stories that will comfort them? Stories that will confirm an affirmation of what we believe? Are they stories that will commit them to something that's greater than they are, than you are, than we are? Will your stories teach them love? Because if you tell them about Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection, then you are telling them about his love. I would encourage you today, if you do not know about that gospel we just sang about, If you do not understand the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you have not taken that step, today is the day. Don't let it get past you. Don't let it get past you. Because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. 2003 was like just a couple of weeks ago. Seems like it was just a few days ago. In 2003, my son has gone from 8 years old to 25. My daughter's gone from 8 years old, 7 years old, to being married, having her own husband. My little boy that I used to carry on my shoulders is now in college. Time turns. Don't stand by and just watch. Tell your kids stories. But if you haven't made the commitment, you need to do that. Or maybe you did make the commitment and you've told the stories. You know them. But they kind of gotten boring and now I'm telling other stories. It's just not as exciting as it used to be. There's a lot of exciting things on, so I think I'll tell a different story. Never, never stop telling the story. But if you have, you need your brothers and sisters to pray for you. And it may not be coming down and sitting down here and somebody putting their hand on your shoulder and praying with you. It may be you go and catch one of your friends and saying, I'm struggling, I need you to pray for me. Do you do that? You can't do that out in the world. The world doesn't care if you're struggling. Matter of fact, the world's fine with you struggling because it makes their troubles look better. This is your family. Love each other. Support each other. Tell each other the stories of Jesus Christ. And if you need this family to support and strengthen you, there's no better time than right now. We encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.
I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. And he assurance gives to loyal hearts and true that every promise is fulfilled to those who hear and do. I am coming, Lord, coming now to wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary.
Amen. Hope you can make it back tonight if you enjoyed the singing. We're going to have 5 o'clock singing. So I know that's out of the normal, Kurt announced this morning. 5 o'clock, we're going to do some singing. And anybody who wants to lead a song, I'm thinking that would be okay. We'd definitely enjoy that. Let's sing this song as we close together, talking about going to heaven. On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host. By blood they hymned their king and strains divine. I heard and strove to join. I heard song to join. Hear all Lucifer sword or flame, lovely name shout victory now and hail the Lamb and for the great I am.
is in to love you, holy, holy, holy Lord, God of the Son, high adored, who like oh, Almighty King, holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts on high adored.
Thank you all for coming. Byron, thank you for your lesson. Logan, thank you for helping out. Let us all go out the rest of the day and think about our story. We all have a story. Let us spread our story with our family, kids, whatever like that. So, but don't be afraid to spread it. Spread the word. Don't keep your light hidden under a lampshade. Spread the light. Get it out there so others can join. Bathroom prayer. Father in heaven, come this time of prayer. I want to thank you for this opportunity to come out and worship with you. And thank you for this uplifting sermon. And let us all go out and let your light shine bright in every one of us, and let us to strive to reach out and touch at least one person this week, if not more, and let them to show what eternal life with, in heaven with you will be like someday. And remember, this life on earth is just temporary. None of us want to stay here. We all want to set our focus and minds on heaven with you someday. And be it those that cannot be with us today, for whatever reason they are, if they're sick or suffering, those that are sitting next to us here in church, let us to reach out to them also, if whatever their needs may be, whether they choose not to share them or not. But be with us all until we join once again. In your son's name we pray. Amen.